This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What's up, everybody?
What up?
Good Wednesday afternoon.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy.
What is settling upon us? Front? Rain? What is it?
There are some storms moving in into the evening, early morning hours tomorrow, I do believe.
I'm thinking wicked this way comes. I can feel it in my bones.
Okay.
I want everyone to stop what they're doing today. If you're late for lunch or early for dinner, and we're going to talk to Delise Hope and founder of Braden's Hope in the 3 o'clock hour, today is the day you go eat at Jersey Mike's.
Oh, that's
they
right.
They are all right. Over town. And I had a meeting today at Panera before I came into work. On my way to Panera, I stopped at Jersey Mike's, grabbed a sub. They're so good, by the way. Ate it. 100% of the profits at Jersey Mike's today go toward pediatric cancer research. Good. And it stays right here, Scott. It's good. KU Med. It is Children's Mercy. And all of the research is shared. There are trials that are happening that are very exciting that really were born from Braden's Hope.
Well, and one of the major issues with childhood cancer is, first of all, they only get about 4% of the funding for the research.
It's pennies on the dollar.
And when your child develops cancer, they just take the treatments for adults and try to scale them down to what they think would apply for a child. And that's not how it works. Child's bodies react differently. And so they need that research. They need the money. So go get some Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's. And we'll have Delise Hofen on a little bit to talk about it because the work she's done in this community as a cancer survivor herself for her son, who is a survivor, is nothing short of incredible. Go eat at Jersey Mike's today. Yep.
Guess who I had breakfast with this morning?
Who? Stop it.
Biscuit. I'd like to butter your biscuit.
Bill
and
Brady.
Did he butter a biscuit while you were there?
He did butter a biscuit.
I was like, good gracious, booty bodacious, flirtatious, trying to show faces, looking for the right time to, you know, looking for the right time to flash them keys, then I'm leaving, please believing. Me and the rest of my heathens, check it, got it locked up at the top of the Four Seasons.
That man is a national treasure.
He wants us to find a good modern song. He goes, it's been so long. I'm itching to get back on.
Yeah.
And I said I will talk to Dana. We will get one for you.
We need a good one.
And he goes any song you want. I'm happy to do it.
Well, wait a minute.
Penthouse, rooftop, birds. Oh, yeah. I feeding. No deceiving. Nothing up my sleeve. No teasing. I need you to get up on that dance floor. Give that man what he's asking for.
It's still okay. Not as good as I'm bringing.
I'll nothing, let you whip me.
Nothing will ever be as funny as Bill Grady bringing sexy back. You know, we've tried other songs, and I always love it. It's amusing. He does so well. Nothing ever will beat I'm bringing sexy back.
I'll now, let you whip me.
Can we take a different approach here and instead of a modern song go way back?
What do you think?
Yeah, we could. Sure.
I'm like, thinking never been this far before.
Oh, my gosh.
By Conway
no,
Twitty.
My trembling fingers touching
my
unforbidden
trembling
place.
Hands, forbidden lands.
What about I'd Love to Lay You Down? I'd Love to Lay You Down might be better. In that flannel gown.
You've never been this far before.
I'd Love to Lay You Down.
Oh, I like that one.
No, I think that would be an FCC violation.
What, this moment. Close to losing that
as in store.
My trembling hands.
I kept trying to get my kids to listen to that over the weekend.
So
and B was like, no, I'm not listening to that. And I'm like, it's funny. She's like, No, it just creeps me out.
I don't think Conway Twitty was trying to make a joke.
No, he was not.
What do you mean it's funny?
He actually wanted to lay you down, ladies.
He wanted
all
to take his trembling hands.
And he was 40 when he wrote that song.
Yeah.
My new mission on the weekends is to go into random bars that have touch tunes and just play that song. Just see what happens.
Yeah, Dan.
Yes.
Well, he said he was 40 when he wrote that song.
Yeah, like, but his trembling hands.
Older folks can't enjoy.
No, Dan, well, if he is talking about touching charted territory.
Somebody who's never been that far
at
before.
At age 40, yeah. One could surmise from that.
Clearly.
That the woman that he is speaking of might have been very, very young. That's all we're saying.
Might not be able to drive a car. Who knows?
Might not be able to enter the junior year of high school.
Or maybe an adult, just younger.
You know, you're apologizing for this inappropriate
music. Y'all are always looking at the worst of things.
No,
you're damn right.
I'm obsessed with those songs.
Like
I play
Suburban
them,
Panic.
No, I play them on a loop in my Suburban Panic.
Suburban Panic?
Yeah, this is my. You crank that. Boom, boom, boom. Don't you be shy.
That's in store.
Yeah, statutory rape.
Bum bum bum.
We need Bill Grady to do this.
I can tell.
You've never been this far before.
Everyone.
Here we go. Here we go.
Bum bum bum.
This is the line right here.
Okay. All right.
Bum bum bum.
Bum bum bum.
I feel dirty.
That song is dirty.
It's adult. Adult themes about love between.
It's like the country version of the Two Live Crew.
Maybe.
Boom, boom, boom.
It's artistry.
All right.
It was something.
All right. What'd you guys do last night?
We took the kids to dinner. I was so excited. Nice. Hadn't seen one or two of them in a couple weeks. There's a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. We went to a new place, went to a steakhouse. It was very good. Just great conversation, had some wine, went home and went to bed early.
How much wine did we have?
Just one, actually.
Sam, do we buy that?
Yeah, for real, just one.
One magnum?
Actual glass of wine.
One magnum?
We had a good time.
One carafe
you know,
of
Sophie
wine?
Sophie has been out of the country, and so... You know, I have seen her and spoken to her since she got back, but some of the siblings had not. And so yeah. It was good. What did you do?
There's a fundraiser going on in it's not a fundraiser. It's a scholarship thing up in Lansing.
Okay.
So an old friend of mine, Tina, asked if we had any swag from the radio station that they could give out. And I said, well, I don't know that Dana and Parks are particularly popular with the 16, 17, 18-year-old crowd.
Yeah.
And she said, you would be amazed. And so I took home a bunch of KMBZ swag. And
I was like, we have swag?
Yeah, we have swag.
Well, we did.
Well, we
did.
Don't anymore.
We did. Not after last night. And we just caught up. She hung out for about an hour and
told
war stories. And then tonight, my mom and Sarah are coming over for dinner. Looking forward to that.
Good.
Yeah.
We just had a press conference here at about 1:50,
25
minutes ago from the Royals with the owner, Brooke Sherman.
Where are they going?
Nobody knows. We are expecting June or July to have, quote, or not quote, because this is like a weird game of telephone. The sports guy told me what he said. More clarity in June or July.
So they had a news conference and said nothing about.
Well, the news conference is all about, right. Hey, we're excited to have you out tomorrow. Come on out and buy a ticket and a hot dog and watch some baseball.
Dot, dot, dot.
And after a handful of questions that had nothing to do with the stadium, the sports reporters decided to focus on the thing that everybody cares about. Where will the new stadium go? And they said, we don't know.
TBD.
Jeez.
Yep.
To be determined.
More clarity coming in June or July.
I would hope.
You know, this community, and I mean the entire metropolitan area, needs to be very careful here, or they run the potential of really screwing this up.
By the way, John Sherman.
Sorry.
I didn't want to correct you in real time.
I would have taken that correction. My apologies. Sorry, John.
I was going to do it during the commercial
John's
break.
John's lesser-known brother, Brooks.
He's a half-brother.
He was not the one on the podium.
He didn't know anything about the stadium because he's not involved with the Royals organization on any level.
Where did that even come from?
I don't know either. Are you watching the Golf Channel in there?
I guess. I don't know. Is there a Brooke Sherman? Now I'm trying to figure out where that 40 and slip.
I mean, that's like me with Hunkin' Hunter Duncan or whatever it was the other day.
Duncan? Also not a member of the KU basketball team.
That's right.
Anyway.
Well, there is a Brooks Sherman.
Thank you, Dan.
Royals front office.
Okay.
Is that true?
He is the president of business operations.
Oh, you knew it.
Yeah, and you knew that.
You knew that.
I did, obviously. Yeah. I've seen the name before.
Yeah, you just conflated the two.
Freudian slip. It happens.
You are a liar.
It happens.
He has a much smaller office.
With no window. You are a liar.
Anyway, okay. We are hoping for more clarity here in the coming months.
The entire city is hoping for more clarity. All right, our first story out of the stack is one of actual nightmares, and I made a Monsters, Inc. reference out in the newsroom earlier. That is a failed reference because there's nothing about this that is funny. Okay. For any woman listening, if you were a babysitter when you were 14 or 15, if you leave your children with a sitter, as people do when you're out on a Friday or Saturday night, this is a story that happened in Great Bend, Kansas.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the Casey Kasem story. We'll get to that later.
Here's the gist of what went down. The babysitter is there watching three kids in Great Bend. One of the children was having trouble falling asleep. This is a story as old as time, right? Can I have a drink of water? Yes. Can you come tuck me in? Yes. You know, the child, for whatever reason, was not going to sleep. The kiddo then comes out and says to the babysitter, "There's a monster under my bed."
Hmm.
The babysitter goes in. As God is my witness, they are going to make a Lifetime nightmare movie out of this. The babysitter goes in to show the child there's no such thing as monsters. And then lifts the sheet up.
Stop.
And looks under the bed. And when we get back, that child is going to need some therapy, and that babysitter is going to need a whole lot of therapy because there was a monster under that bed.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Because I feel like busting loose, and I feel like touching you. And can't nobody stop the mongoose. So, baby, tell me, what's the use?
I know.
How many times does he say it?
26.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yep.
We don't need to hear all of them, Sam.
I know.
Let's stop at like 12. I'm good.
I know.
Oh my God, this next story, you guys. It's actually two topics in one. You don't even know it yet. Out of Great Bend, Kansas, I cannot imagine a bigger nightmare for a babysitter or the children that she is there to watch over. Okay. Authorities say they have arrested a man after a babysitter found him hiding under one of the children's beds.
A man?
According to the Barton County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to a reported disturbance call in the 2000 block of Patton Road. It's just outside of Great Bend. This happened Monday. When deputies got there, the victim said, "I am here. I'm babysitting the children. When I tried putting them to bed, one of them kept complaining, quote, there was a monster under the bed." The babysitter goes into the bedroom to bend down and look under the bed to show the child there's nothing hiding under your bed, and came face to face with Creep McPurville, Martin Villabose Jr., who was hiding under the child's bed. As you can imagine, there was a lot of screaming. An altercation began. The babysitter and one of the children was knocked over. He fled the scene. So for the last couple of days, they've been looking for him. They have found him. After a foot chase, he's been arrested. This is the secondary topic. Turns out Villabose used to live in that house. He would have been intimately familiar with the layout, right?
Okay.
But there was a protection from abuse order issued against him to stay away from the property. So follow me here. He used to live there. There's some sort of domestic violence thing going on.
So
there is a protection order against him saying you are not to come back to this house.
Are these his kids?
I do not believe so. He then comes back to the house and is hiding. Fill in the blanks what you think he was going to do when mom got home.
Was he in a relationship with mom and moved out of the house?
It doesn't say, but that is how I would read this.
Yeah.
Right? So he has been arrested on aggravated kidnapping, aggravated burglary,
Kidnapping.
Well, because who did he kidnap? My guess is he was, one of the children knew there was somebody under that bed, and he would not let them leave and go get help. That's kidnapping.
But they did. They went and got the babysitter.
Aggravated kidnapping.
I think that one's a stretch.
Aggravated burglary.
Well, that's not.
Aggravated battery. Child endangerment. Felony obstruction of a law enforcement officer because he fled. And violation of a protection from abuse order. He was out on bond from a previous case in January where he was also accused of violating a protection from abuse order. Part of his order was not to have any contact with the victim. He violated those terms on March 24th.
Sounds to me like this guy is the ex-boyfriend of mom who is currently on vacation and taking advantage of the fact that she is on vacation.
But not even on vacation, Sam. Out on a date.
To get back into the house.
So thank God the children are, quote, okay. Physically, they're okay. Yeah. I don't know how you would ever not sleep on a futon again for the rest of your life.
Oh, that mattress is going straight on the floor.
Yeah, it is.
But I think one of the more important topics here, if you really think about it, is if you have a teenager who babysits, you don't really know what's going on in that house. And I'm not victim blaming at all. You at all, Scott, with what I'm about to say here.
However,
would I want my teenage daughter to go to a house where there was an active protection order because there had been something violent or otherwise that had happened in that home?
I'm assuming that question's rhetorical.
I would at least want to know that, and then I would probably be more comfortable having the kids come to our house. We will watch them here.
But is a woman primarily, usually, obligated to disclose, hey, I have a protection order against my ex-boyfriend or my ex-husband.
Yes, and if someone answers the door, you would not answer that door. You would call 911. And then at that point, as a parent, you're going, all right, wait a minute. If we're going down this road, let's just have the kids come to my house. We will watch the kids here.
Yeah, she's never finding a babysitter ever again if you have to have a perceived threat disclosure meeting prior to hiring her as a babysitter. Yeah,
that's a great point, Sam.
Look what ended up happening, Sam. There was a man hiding under there, presumably to do her harm when she came home or to do the children harm. You know, here's what I will say. My daughters did babysit. They are out of that phase of their life, and I'm thankful for it. Dangerous dogs. Have you had a dog in that house that has bitten three people? I don't want my child over at your house.
So there needs to be a babysitter disclosure form?
After hearing this, do you not think that you would want to know that there was someone that had already previously violated a protection order and he's not to come within 500 feet of that house?
Well, what if I have guns in the house, but they're in a safe?
I want to know that,
and
too.
And it's locked.
I would want to know that, too.
I have a lot of knives in the house. I had a boyfriend 15 years ago who was abusive, and every once in a while he still bothers me, but I've never filed a protection order against him.
I think that you owe it to the person coming into the home to say, if someone would knock on the door, we are not expecting anyone. Don't answer the door.
But here's where I'm going. And I think Sam might be on the same page as me. If that is the case, where do you stop? And if that is the case,
right,
you'll never get a baby. What if I owe $50,000 in debt, gambling debt?
To a shark?
To a bookie. known to break fingers, right, if not paid back.
I would have somebody else start your car before you leave tonight.
But here's the deal. If you as a woman are in danger enough that you petition a court for a protection order to keep someone from your home, you feel in danger. By the time that you're doing that, Scott, you are employing the system to help you, which they should. You feel on some level that you are in danger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is responsible to have a teenager come over and watch the – I just don't.
But you know what else is going to happen? You're never going to have a grown man – in a relationship in that home again, because you'll never find anybody to babysit your kids. Because I'm with you in some regards.
I don't want this to sound like I'm victim blaming.
I know you're not.
A young woman that has a protection deserves to go out and have dinner with a girlfriend.
Or just start a new relationship. What I'm saying is, you'll never, if for example, 14-year-old, 15-year-old Sarah comes to me and says, hey, Dad, I've been asked to babysit on Saturday night for, you know, Kim, but Kim does have a restraining order out against her ex-husband. He was very violent. Guess who's not going over to Kim's house to babysit on Saturday night? Sarah.
Would you be mad if you found out after the fact?
Yeah.
Like a neighbor says,
FYI. I'm not disagreeing with you, but
it's an uncomfortable conversation.
And I can understand why women would not want to disclose every facet of their past relationship life.
Up until the point that you feel like your life is in danger. That's where you have to draw the line.
And if you do have $50,000 in debt to a bookie, I need to know that.
If this were an ex-boyfriend, wouldn't the kids have known him?
I don't know, Sam.
I know we're running on a theory here because we don't know the true details.
The monster under my bed, and then she goes in and lifts up the bed, and yep, sure enough, there's some dude hiding.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Interesting point from the text line. Let's keep the scenario going. If it is not disclosed to the babysitter, does this become a massive liability? At that point, the mother would also be culpable is the word they meant to use, in any harm that would befall the babysitter if some crazy person from her past were to show up and do harm.
I would not even begin to understand or know how homeowners insurance would file this.
And what if it's a problemed child? We had a caller who couldn't hang on the line who said that her daughter got on one of the babysitting apps so that she could do it after school. And after 5 or 6 times of picking up this child from their bus stop, taking them back to their apartment and watching them until the parents got home, the child had some angers, maybe some other things going on. Nobody was really quite sure what was wrong, but she was hanging out on the couch and the kid came out of the kitchen with a big knife.
Oh my gosh.
Charging at the daughter. And the daughter locked herself in the bathroom until mom got home. The daughter had no idea that this child had these tendencies, and apparently mom knew.
I'm so glad my kids don't babysit anymore. I'm telling you. Just put that on the list of things I'm glad they're not doing anymore.
Bullets that you dodged.
Because you don't ever know when they're going over. You know what I mean? You just don't know.
What if the person is high profile, famous, powerful, has stalkers or people that want them dead?
Oh, sure.
I used to babysit for a 2, later became a 3-star general. His grandson lived with them in Fort Hood. I was probably 12, 13 years old, and their grandson was 6. B.P. Chambers, I'll never forget. And when General Chambers and his wife, Rita, would go out and do general things on base, they would always call me, and I would go over to the general cul-de-sac and babysit B.P. I mean, this is a very powerful man who presumably would have, you know, in today's age, would have enemies abroad, want him dead.
It's almost like you need to have a code word with your teenage daughter. Like, if you are in a situation where you feel unsafe because of the child, because, like, whatever. Like, let's say you get there and there's guns laying out everywhere. Like, you don't really ever know, especially if they pick up a job on an app.
Well, but if there are guns laying out, then that is on you. And if something were to happen, you are liable.
Sure.
913-586-7798. Stephen in Olathe. Stephen, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, you know, I will victim blame depending on how long ago she put this protection order in effect. If it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, if it's still going through the court system, you have no business being away from your children. You know, Scott, your particular situation where you were on base with the general's children, that's one thing. But knowing that you have someone who wants to do you harm, or you're in fear of having do harm to you, and you leave your children for them to be subject to that just because you want to get away from the situation and you want to start picking up dating again, get your life together.
And in fairness, we do not know where mom went. Did she go? Was it bowling night?
She could have been working for all we know.
That's right. Was it date night? Was it evening out with some friends? Was she working, to your point, Dana?
It also puts the parents of the babysitter in a sort of uncomfortable position where you read something like this and you feel like you have to ask questions. Like, hey, absolutely, she'll be over there at 7. Mm-hmm. You plan to be home at midnight. random question. Do you currently have an order of protection against anyone that is not allowed within 500 feet of your house?
Maybe some stalkers, maybe a bookie who wants his money. Just right. Let me know, you know?
There's a whole laundry list of things that could go wrong in that. I just want to cover all the bases.
Great one question. To getting shot, how in danger is my daughter?
Great question on the text line. Why was he under the kid's bed and not under mom's bed?
No idea. You know what I think? And this is a scene straight out of a movie. I think he was in that house probably alone. He had snuck in, right?
Clearly.
Trying to surprise mom. And then
here's somebody coming.
Here's somebody coming, and it's mom and the babysitter. Mom's like, all right, here are the kids. They're fed. They can watch TV for an hour. I'm out. Mom leaves. Kids come in the bedroom. Now he's trapped. So he lays there under the bed thinking, I'm going to wait this out.
But he's clearly making noise.
And then
makes
enough noise that the child hears him. I think he was in there to do harm to mom is my guess. And then somehow didn't realize she wasn't going to be home and then had to hide and didn't do it very well.
Speaking of babysitters, this story out of KCK, it's weird. The Kansas City, Kansas Police Department says the missing 3-month-old baby named Hugo was found last night at a hospital. Kansas City, Kansas police say he was safe. He was unharmed. Police reported Hugo missing last night and asked for the public's help to find him. According to KCKPD, on March 13th, so let's do the math here, almost 2 weeks ago, Hugo's mother left him. By the way, the child is 3 months old. Hugo's mom left him in the care of a friend identified as Brittany Jones while she went out of town. She left town with and left behind
the mom left town, left the 3-month-old behind with a, quote, friend named Brittany. Okay, keep going.
5 days later, so she was out of town for at least 5 days, on March 18th, family returned to pick Hugo up. But Jones, Brittany, refused to turn him over.
Oh, my God.
Police said Jones then left the country on vacation. KCKPD say that Jones has been charged in Wyandotte County with aggravated interference with parental custody, was taken into police custody Tuesday evening in Atlanta, presumably coming back from her vacation. Hugo was last seen by family at Jones's residence on 47th Street. Detectives believe that Jones may have left Hugo in the care of another relative or friend who was unaware of the custodial interference.
This kid was being passed like hot potato?
And then someone brought the baby to the hospital where he was found safe and unharmed.
I have so many questions.
If family was in town to be raising questions about where Hugo is, why didn't we give the 3-month-old to family?
Wait, I've got broader questions than that. Like 3 months old going out of town for a week. Whoa. Was this a funeral? Even then, wouldn't go.
Why do you have to be out for 5 days for a funeral?
Yeah,
and then as the recipient of the baby that has now exchanged hands 2 to 3 times, like the person at the end of that chain, why would you accept a baby from a person that does not belong with that baby? You follow me here. Someone comes to you, Sam, and says, hey, I'm supposed to be watching this kid. He's not mine. His name is Hugo. Here, I'm leaving. As that person, who in their right mind would say, yeah, this seems like a good idea. Actually, it seems like kidnapping. Give me the child.
I mean,
I would have taken the child and called 911 and been like, I've got a baby here that isn't mine.
Sympathy and empathy does set in eventually.
You caught a great line, Sam. Midway through the story, I said family returned on March 18th to pick Hugo up, but Jones refused to hand him over. It doesn't say mom returned to pick Hugo up, so she may have been out of town for more than 5 days. Number one, what mother, or father for that matter, leaves their child with somebody else at 3 months of age to go out of town for at least, and probably more, than 5 days. Brittany must have agreed to take Hugo in, according to this story. But did she not tell mom, hey, you better be back by the 18th because I'm heading out of the country?
I have a lot of questions.
Like an episode straight out of the show Shameless right now.
Well, yes, I'm guessing police have a lot of questions. Now, is there a reason, an emergent type of reason, you would have to be out of the country for 5 days without your 3-month-old?
Mom was not out of the country.
Or out of town.
Mom left town, yeah.
It, in my mind, I cannot come up with an emergent reason that would not be something so far-fetched.
Why couldn't she take the baby?
Something tells me the whole truth is not being told by one or more actors in this story.
I'm going to be honest. I'm just glad the baby's okay. Like, when you first told me that story, Sam, I go, okay, this sounds like Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
Remember, for weeks, was like, oh, I left him with Zendaya, whatever the name, Zelda or whatever. He's over at so-and-so's house.
Well, the only
house.
Difference is that Hugo, thankfully, is safe
is
and
safe.
Alive.
Because when you first told me this, I said, this sounds like a Casey. Mm-hmm. We're never going to find that baby, and it's not going to be good when we do. Thank God he's okay. I'm guessing he's in protective custody, is he not?
I would hope so.
While they sort this out?
It doesn't say, but I would hope you're right.
From the text line, did she go out of town for work?
Yeah, and not coordinate with the people that she left her child with?
Sam, it's possible, but boy.
Do you really believe that?
No, I think that there's a whole lot of lying going on about this, and whether or not we're ever going to find the true details, I don't know.
And what company would take a new mom and say, hey, we need you to leave town?
Well, I think you'd be surprised there, but
okay.
Yeah.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. What's the viral wrestler story about?
So the NCAA wrestling just wrapped up. We have our national title for college wrestling. And Dana, you were mentioning off the air a moment ago that Mizzou has a fantastic wrestling program and was in the final bouts there, but did not come out on top. Who did win it all? A young man from the University of Illinois by the name of Lucas Bird, who happens to be 5'5". Not a very tall guy.
Okay.
And he is viral right now, not for winning the NCAA tournament. Okay. He is going viral because after he won, he ran over and hugged his girlfriend, and he doesn't even come up to her shoulder.
Okay.
She is a whole head and shoulder taller than him.
Okay, wait a minute.
And now he is viral for that.
Okay. What school did he go to, by the way?
Illinois.
Okay. We watched some of that wrestling final, by the way, over the weekend. And
that board, huh?
Mizzou went all the way to the end. They are calling
program.
Him, quote, the short king. Is this a thing anymore where if you are a man who is shorter in stature, you don't date a girl who is taller?
I would never.
Why is that such a thing with you men?
The short king has been trending over the last couple of years.
Well, hang on. I'm going to answer that with another question. Would you date a man who is shorter than you? Be honest.
Is he funny? Does he fulfill my every waking need? Is he good?
I don't know.
Human being? Yes. I just.
You would date a man who was shorter than you.
I am incredibly short. That has been established.
Yes.
If he was my height or shorter, I mean,
he would be a dwarf.
He would be very, very short.
Or dang close to it.
But I just don't. I don't think that's something that would be some height disqualifier for me.
Let me assure you that it wasn't men that came up with the term tall, dark, and handsome. That's what women came up with, because those are three things that women find attractive.
I just think we're past that, aren't we?
Tall, dark, and handsome.
One of my daughters dated someone for a very long time. He's like a member of our family, and he happened to be shorter than her. Not an incredible amount, but happened to be shorter than her.
And he's an ex.
She wore, but not, he's, I love that child. And I never even thought of him as, oh, she's dating someone shorter. I just, no.
Now, if you scroll around on the social medias, the Instagram reels, the TikTok, and you find those videos where they ask women on spring break or college campuses, what is prerequisite number one to go on a date with you, their first answer is always 6 foot or taller.
No!
So I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought handsome or, dare I say, money.
This was against the Mizzou kiddo. I told you this, Sam. This is the one that we watched. I did not. You know what I noticed? I noticed him jumping up and down. I thought, my God, she's the greatest wrestler in the country.
He was trying to kiss his girlfriend.
Oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? That is a child. Watch, I'm going to show you the video. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Nothing.
Watch the video. She is substantially taller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She looks, and she's wearing a letter jacket. Maybe she's on the basketball team.
Oh, she's
they did
darling.
Post a video from a dance or something that they had gone to together. They're both very dressed up. He's in a suit. She's in a lovely gown with flats on, and he does not.
Why is it because there is some unwritten, not the word I'm looking for is commanding, but that if someone is standing over you, there's this some like
it's subliminal,
weird subliminal. Mm-hmm. That person is more in charge,
more powerful,
dominant, domineering.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's just the way that we are.
Hang on, let me stand up for this conversation.
I cannot even believe we are even talking about this.
Sit down.
Is it true that we have not had a president under 6 foot in how long?
Oh, like all but a few.
Let me look that up. That's actually a great question.
I just think sometimes the people who are shorter in stature have the most gigantic, amazing personalities.
Oh, not where I thought you were going with that.
Lincoln was the tallest, 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
James Madison the shortest at 5'4".
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 5'4". How tall is the wrestler, Sam?
5'5".
Okay. She does seem to be tall for her.
Oh, she's got to be like 6'3".
Age as well.
So,
she looks like a basketball player.
Yeah, here we go. Lyndon Johnson, 6'3.5". Trump, 6'3". Clinton, 6'2.5". I'm just doing the modern era presidents. George H.W. Bush, 6'2". Barack Obama, 6'1.5".
She plays volleyball at Illinois. They're both student athletes.
Reagan, 6'1".
Student athletes tend to date other student athletes.
Gerald Ford, a flat 6. Joe Biden, a flat 6.
They're already TikTok famous for the short king trend.
I love it.
Richard Nixon, 5'11.5". George W. Bush, 5'11.5".
What's ILL mean? I love you.
Illinois.
Oh, Illinois. Well, she wrote, the world is yours, heart emoji, ILL.
News with Dan coming up.
I love you, Ill.
In 2 minutes.
I love you so much, it makes me sick.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.